Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Wineries are in California's Stage 3 reopening, and though some did stay open just for tastings, many more, including most of the Napa Valley wineries, were closed but now fully open with food. Wine expert Rick Cushman is back with us. He's going to take a look at the wine industry from many angles in the midst of COVID-19. He's on the phone from Sacramento. Hi, Rick. It's been a while. How are you?
It has. I'm fine. You know, just working at home like most of the world at the moment.
Well, the truth is that wine for a lot of people seemed essential during the pandemic.
Yeah, I've been saying the unofficial industry motto is we help keep you sane, now keep us alive.
Mm.
And they're sort of in that stage right now. Now we're about to see what really happens.
So let's talk about the reopening. It's probably too early to know the numbers, but what's happening across the many regions?
Well, let's set the scene very quickly. So remember, wineries were pretty far down the list in terms of being able to open. Those that could serve food qualified sort of as restaurants. Some of them were trying to survive by selling online, or you could even come by and pick up, but you couldn't go in and taste. And then when restaurants opened, those that could either had a kitchen or could line up a food truck could do fine. Places like Napa that bans that sort of thing. So the Napa wineries, most of those big expensive wineries couldn't open until just last week. So what we've heard, and this is so anecdotal, but it is from the tourist places, the Napa and Sonoma and Paso Robles that sort of have these large tourist followings, had traffic. But the Foothills, Lodi, those folks, and Lodi has actually been able to stay open because a lot of those folks are when the restaurants opened and they were doing some clever things like you could go and buy wine and then use their picnic grounds. And to use their picnic grounds, the only thing you needed to do was buy wine. They could even sell you food. So it gave you a reason to go. So what we're seeing is there is interest. There's definitely interest, but it's hard to know the numbers. The other thing that is going to be hard for wineries, and we can talk about this in a bit in terms of the industry, is, if you think about when you go to a winery, and I know, Beth, you and I have had this conversation more than once, you go to some place and you fall in love with it.
Right.
And you fall in love with the trees and the grass and the vineyards and the winery dog, and you end up, buying a lot of wine and you send your friends there or you join the wine club. And that's going to be much more difficult because, a lot of the intimate experiences are going to be gone. You can't lean on the tasting bar and have the person on the other side chat up with you. And then, and you talk to the folks next to you and you guys all talk about how much you love that view. It's all going to be very much, like sort of what we're doing now, just at a winery, which is your family, your small group of friends sitting at a table far from everybody else. So we're going to see what happens to this giant engine of the industry for all of the smaller wineries, which is whether they really can continue to sell out of the tasting rooms.
You are making me think that it's wise to call ahead and find out whatever changes or modifications are going on in your destination winery.
Yes.
I don't want to spend much time there because people are learning how to navigate this reopening pretty well. But let's talk about the industry as a whole, because I've heard you say there are two very different stories happening.
Yeah. And the one other point, actually, though, was you made, which is exactly right. It's true for everything now. Definitely call ahead. Most places you'll have to make a reservation.
Mm.
So the industry has these. This is, in fact, I was just looking at new numbers this morning. And the problem is the numbers are so all over the map. But fundamentally, the wine sales are up and volume is way up, value up, volume way up. But it's really affected two different parts of the industry. So what we saw was, I'm sure that you might have been part of this, Beth. I know I was, which is that a lot of folks were, stocking their, stacking wine in the corners so that they had something to drink. During our isolation and supermarket sales and, places, the big stores that ship or the wine, not even some of the wineries that ship, were doing really well. And so overall wine's up like 25, a quarter in volume and almost a third in value since the start of the pandemic. The curve is coming down a bit because people, loaded their pantries. But it's the big wineries. It's the folks that sell at the supermarkets or in the big wine stores. Because they have the volume, and that's why they sell there. And so what we saw was that people went down sort of one notch in price, but not entirely, because a lot of folks were buying the wines they might have bought at a restaurant, but now they buy it at a store and it's a little less expensive. So, you know, the Rombauers and the Frank families that sell so well in restaurants are selling really well in supermarkets. But our friends in the foothills and in Lodi and down in the Delta and all the smaller folks that don't have the capacity to be in those stores, those folks took the same amount of a hit. They lost, you know, anything from a quarter to a third in terms of sales, in some cases half. And so that's because they sold out of their tasting room, or they had deals with the restaurants in the region, and there's just no way for them to sell.
So the prompt there is, while we can all get out and about in this summertime, if you love a local or regional winery, go support it. That's what I hear you saying.
Yes. And, you know, we've had this conversation before, too, about, you know, we're so used to sort of buying wine in the supermarket now and getting a $12 Chardonnay or the $20 cab. And then we look at our local, the little folks, the folks that make, you know, 1,500 cases. And the prices are all up by $5 or $10 a bottle, because remember, they don't have the capacity to get economies of scale. But if you have friends up there, you have places that you like, now is the time to support them, because they have been struggling, and they're about to get into harvest.
Mm. Actually, let's talk about that, because work in the vineyards and the wineries continues. So that has made it an industry in which people are working, but I don't know how much they're earning in that industry. And we're coming into fire season, too, which is always a huge risk.
Yeah, remember, that romantic dream. Didn't you want to own a winery? So what has been happening is, you know, the work continues. We went through spring. Winter and spring. And so there is still some serious work to be done in the vineyards. And, you know, it's everything from pruning and then setting up your canopies and all that sort of stuff, to in the wineries, where they are bottling like mad for so many of the wineries. And, you know, eight of those wineries, the standard red that sort of gets 18 months of storage. And, you know, that's so the 2018s and the 20, you know, or the whites, those are going in a bottle, so they have lots of work to be done, but there's much less income coming in. And then the good news for them, by the way, though, was it's an odd little thing, was lots of California vineyards have been having difficulty getting enough workers because of some of the immigration policies. Mm. With the restaurants closed, there was a larger group of folks that were willing to go and take that work. And so, you know, they could hire. That wasn't the problem. The problem was they had to pay for it, too. But now, if you are a small or mid-sized winery, now you're faced with all these decisions, because you have to decide if the industry is going to bounce back. You have to decide how much wine to make. If you sell grapes, you have to decide, you know, if you're a winery, you have to decide whether to keep it for yourself or try to sell it. If you're just a vineyard manager or vineyard grower, you have to look farther out and you say, will the industry continue? Or should I pull out some vines? Because it's not like wheat. You can't just let the field go fallow. If you're going to have vines, it still costs you money because you have to care for them. Hmm. And you know, but you don't want to be too conservative, because if the industry does bounce back, you don't want to lose your place on the wine list or in the shelf space, because when you lose it, you don't get it back. So these folks have this major juggling act. They have to read wine leaves.
Grape leaves.
Grape leaves. They have to do grape leaves, right? Without really knowing. And, you know, I was just looking through this morning, you know, there's a bunch of numbers come out, and there's a couple of guys that really look at the wine industry, and all anybody has is questions. Nobody says, we know this.
It's the times that we're in right now. And in fact, I do want to clarify, when I said people or the industry wasn't earning, it's not the people who weren't earning. It's the wineries right now earning because of the sales. All right, before I let you go, what about a wine tasting on Zoom or some sort of electronic connection over wine? Is that happening?
Oh, yes. So, you know, it's funny. Sonoma State had this great study out. They do these consumer studies pretty regularly, and they talked about how your wine drinking has changed. And it was pretty good. It says, you know, during online meetings, there's, you know, nearly 30% people have, you know, done more drinking during online meetings, right. Which of course is Zoom meetings.
Right. Yeah,
that would be me. So here's, you know, the wine industry, one of the things they tried to do was try to stay alive by doing, you know, sending out wine and then taste with the winemaker. And that was marginally successful. But what really has been different is people tasting, you know, among themselves. So I have a couple of really quick ideas of how to do that to have fun.
Okay.
So one of them is, if you're having a tasting with friends that you've traveled with, pull out some of those wines if you have them, or get some wines from the region and taste again. And now you remember when we went to that little villa, or remember that hotel that where everything fell apart, you know. And so it's just a good way. Another is to have everybody taste a different version of the same wine, and talk about it to each other, you know, why this one might be good. The problem is you can't taste the same thing. The other is, because right now we're all trying to, you know, just sort of make human connections, is pick out wines that, like, if I'm tasting if I was going to be tasting with you guys, I'd pick out a wine that made me think of you. Hmm. You would pick out a wine that made you folks think of me. And then as we taste, we talk about why. Why, you know, what's this? Because it's big and robust. So, you know, whatever.
Well, that would be easy for me. I'd pick bubbly for you, hands down.
Yeah. That would be easy.
Yeah. Well, Rick, we're coming into that time of year when there's a lot of reason to keep talking about the wine industry. So it's nice to hear your voice back on the show, and hang in there through all this unusual time.
You too. And well, in about a month or so, we'll have, you know, we'll be able to get rid of some of those giant question marks.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Take care.
Okay.
That's Rick Cushman. He's Cap Radio's wine expert, and you can hear him on the podcast Bottle Talk with Rick and Paul. The Uplift is coming up next. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.